may be seated, praise God. Hallelujah. Our God is good. And all the time, God is good. Praise God. Well, good evening. It's good to see every one of you tonight in church. Or tonight in service. You are the church. We are the church. Yes, we are the church. So we're glad to see you being the church. Hallelujah. Amen. Whenever, sometimes my wife said, we are going to church. I said, no, we are going for service. We are the church. We are gathered as the church. We came to service. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know why they take vehicles to the mechanic? To be serviced. So that it can be used. So if you are coming for service and you're not being used, there's a problem. You're being over-serviced. They service you. You go and sit down. Wait again until the next service. Service is due. You come again. Well, we're going to go into the Word tonight and look at some things in the Bible. I want to thank Pastor Victor for last week. I wasn't here last week. He did a fantastic job. I was in Texas. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I thank God we have able ministers here. But not just able ministers. We also have able members. Amen. Praise the Lord. I said we also have what? Able members for the work of the ministry.
Yes.
Praise God. What is that? Yeah. Okay, good. Good, good. Well, let's go to the book of Mark chapter 3. You know where I'm going to, right? Mark chapter 3. We're going there. We're going to look at some things there in Mark chapter 3. Where's that big red clock at the back? I've been talking about that clock. We need to get it back up there. So, need to get that clock back. Mark chapter 3, verse number 13. And he went on a mountain. It's talking about Jesus. And he went on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Verse number 14. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach. Verse 15, and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. And he began to list names, beginning from verse 16 on. Simon, to whom he gave the name Peter, and the rest of it, James the son of Zebedee, and John the brother of James, to whom he gave the names sons of thunder. They were very zealous. Their zeal caused them to be remarkable individuals. They were zealous for God. They were ready for a lot of things. We're not going to go into the names tonight, but I just wanted you to see that. But the Bible says in verse 13, it says, and he went up on the mountain and called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. Then he appointed 12 that they might be with him. He called them to himself. He wanted them. And I said that God called you because he wants you. He himself wants you. And the primary call that God calls us is that we might be with him. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I've said that people, there are a lot of people, the moment God calls them, instead of going to God, they run to go start preaching. And then they start telling people, you don't know the call that is on my life. We know you are called. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. So the call comes before the choosing. Are you hearing me, somebody? You are called first, then you are filtered, and then you are chosen. Are you hearing me, somebody? And the issue is we have a lot of people who are called, and they celebrate the call. Praise God, I'm called, Pastor. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But they haven't been with him. So they didn't go through the selection process or the chosen process, and they begin to go around, you know, celebrating the call. Thank God for the call. The call is just an invitation. Very important invitation, but it is an invitation. I don't want to say it's just an invitation. Let it be like I'm belittling the call. No, it is an invitation. What I mean is, it's just an invitation means that it is just the first step in the process. He called them to be with him. He called them to be with him. He is calling us to be with him. And the Bible says in verse 13, if you look at the last sentence of verse 13, it says that, verse 13, and they came to him. And they what? They came to him. He didn't call them, and then they went from him. He called them, and they came. And it's a conjunction. It is a response to the call that he called them. He had plans for them. His call was so that he could send them. But before he could send them, he wanted to make them. And I know we are talking about them, but that is by extension, you and I.
Yes.
Are you hearing me, somebody?
Yes, sir.
By extension, it is you and I. Isaiah began to speak. He says, the Lord says, who shall I send? Then Lord said I, send me, Lord, send me. But when he encountered God, he began to realize that there was field. There were some things that needed to be cleaned from him. Are you hearing me, somebody? And tonight, I just wanted to share with you a few things from this passage and another. Why we must celebrate our being with him. Why we must spend time with him. The primary call of every believer is to be with him. Because if you are not with him, you will not know his ways. You will not understand who it is that you represent. Like I've said before, one of the biggest issues that we face, that you would face as a Christian, it is not from people who oppose the truth, it's from people who share half-truths. You see, if you face a person who is completely blank and who are fighting, it is easy to overcome. The biggest problems, go back to the Bible and read. Paul says, I was in trouble of my own countrymen. He faced the biggest beatings that Paul received was not from unbelievers. It was from people who believed, but their beliefs were wrong or incomplete. And they began to persecute him. They began to stir people up against him because they had not so learned. He called us that we might be with him, that he might send us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We celebrate the call. We thank God for that. But we embrace the process of the call. That's what gives you stability. That's what helps you to give you longevity. The second passage which we're going to look at, or which we've looked at, then I will introduce another passage tonight. John chapter 15. So he called them that they might be with him. That they might be with him. Those he himself wanted. So the fact that you're called is because God himself wants you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You've gone through a selection process. You've been chosen, called out of darkness into his marvelous light that you should show forth his praise. But let him make you. Let him form you. Let him prune you. Let him teach you. There's an appointment for you. Jesus speaking in John chapter 15 verse 1, he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Like I said again, when you see I am the true vine, know that there is a false vine. I am the true vine. There is one true vine. And my Father is the vine dresser. Verse 2 says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Every branch where? In me, in him. Hallelujah. Every branch in him that does not bear fruit. He called us to be fruitful. He called us to be fruitful. I've seen people who go around celebrating the call. Oh, I've been... Thank God. Thank God for that. Thank God you've been anointed. Thank God you've been appointed. Go and bear fruit. Fruit that should abound. By their fruit we shall know. By what? Not by their words. By their fruit. By their fruit we shall know them. By their fruit. So it says, every branch of me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Why? Because it's occupying space. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. So it is, both of them are cut, like I've said. One is being cut so that it can be more fruitful. So there are fruits that you bear that are baby fruit. So you say, well, pastor, you don't know I'm fruitful. You know, one of the worst things you can hear somebody say, I used to. In those days, I used to. What happened to now? Is God the God of the past only? Oh, pastor, you don't talk to me. You don't understand. I used to. Get back to continuing. Because the Bible says, every branch that bears fruit, he does what? He prunes. Why? That it may bear more fruit. Don't settle with baby fruits. Don't settle with baby fruit. He prunes that it may bear more fruit. Then he says, verse 3, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. You see, when he calls you and you are not in him and you don't come to him, everything you will try to do will be by your power. And it's not by might, it's not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. So everything you start, it will become an effort and labor-based endeavor. But Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. You see, those who are called and they haven't been with him, they have not learned his ways, they now start making up their ways to do things. That's where you start seeing sometimes manipulations start coming in. A little bit of this start coming in. A little bit of magic start coming in. Oh, time doesn't permit me to show you. If you look at the gospel of, Acts chapter 8, there was a man there called Simon, the sorcerer. When Philip went to Samaria and preached the gospel, Simon believed. He went out of business and he started following Philip. He himself got the call. Now hear me. He became a big... He started following. He became a follower of Philip. And he was so close in the entourage of Philip that when James and John came, he had private session with them. When James and John came to pray, because the whole city believed, right? The Bible says the whole city believed and there was great joy. And so James and John came for them for the baptism of the Holy Ghost to come upon them. And when he saw that by the laying on of hands, people received the Holy Ghost. When he had one-on-one to them, with them, tete-a-tete with them, he told them, he says, give me this power. So that when I lay hands on people. Now hear me. Sometimes we don't realize this. This is in the Bible. It happened in Bible times. He said, give me this power. Give me some of this. And he was doing it in exchange of money. Now, what can that kind of person do? They will tell you, I'm called. And they will show by that power. Because he had not so learned. He had not learned Christ. He had not learned Christ. Let me tell you this. Don't just be around church. Learn. Get to know him. Get to know him. Let him know you. Get to know him. Let him know you. Are you hearing me, somebody?
Yes, sir.
He offered. Thank you, media team. Go on. Go to where they had to curse him. They told him, let your money perish with you. You know why they said let your money perish with you? Because he wanted to offer money. He offered money. He said, give me this in exchange for money. They said, let your money perish with you. He was full of bitterness. So, but he had been called. He had been called, but he had not learned. He had not been with him. So he didn't know the ways of God. Because if he had just been there around and knew God, he would know that this one, you don't even have to beg for it. You will lay hands on, the Bible says, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You will pray for, it is a given that is yours. Why should you be trying to bribe for what is given to you? It belongs to you. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me. If the power is for show, you will not be witnesses of him. If he had so learned him, he would have known that the power belongs to him. That Jesus said, all power in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. But he had not known Jesus. He had not been with him. He had been around. He had received the call, and he was just ready to go preach. He had transferred from one kingdom, from the kingdom of darkness as a sorcerer, and came to the kingdom of light. He had not learned about light. He just wanted to go and begin to disseminate information. Am I communicating something to somebody tonight? So why do we need to be with him? We have a few minutes. Why do we need to be with him? Number one, when we abide with him, we learn his ways. We do what? We learn his ways. You see, the ways of God are not the ways of man, right? You know that? The Bible says, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are God's thoughts. So are God's ways higher than ours. In other words, they may run parallel, but they are different. They function from different planes. God sees a big picture. When you are flying, when you are above, you see a bigger picture. I'm standing in front of you here. If they ask me to describe this room, I'll talk about what I'm seeing. Because I only have eyes facing this way. And unless I turn around, I won't see what you're seeing. If they ask you to describe what you see, you're only going to describe what is behind me. You describe, you see Pastor Blaze, and you see this, you see that. You won't know what is behind you. That shows you limitation. But if you're looking from above, you're able to see. You have a 3D, you have a complete 360 view of the room. You can see the intricacies, the intricate parts of it. So the first thing when he calls us to be with him, when we are with him, when we abide with him, we learn his ways. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 to 7. We learn his ways. Galatians chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Then we'll read verse 11 through 17. We learn his ways. We learn his ways. These, never you assume. The worst thing you can do is called a costly assumption. Never you assume that you have known him. The day you start assuming that you have arrived in Christ, that's the beginning of the end for you. Thank you. Thank you, sister. And then the day you assume that you have arrived, you are in the upper echelons, know that you have fallen. Even if you've read the Bible 100 times, you still don't know squat. There is still a lot more to know from that same Bible, the same passage, the same passages that you've read over and over. And it's not about the number of times you've read it. Even if you pray for 10 hours, it still don't mean nothing, because the parable just is like a shining light that shines brighter. That it didn't just say that shines bright, shines brighter and brighter until the perfect day. And that perfect day is when we see him, we shall know as we are known. So the first, when we abide with him, we learn his ways. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6 says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. To what? A different gospel. Now, it was a gospel. What did they call us to preach? The gospel. But they were turning to a different gospel. There are many gospels. Oh, you didn't hear me. I don't know which one you are preaching, and I don't know which one you are sponsoring, but there are many gospels. Many gospels. Let me share one with you. Very popular. The good news. McDonald's. When you see McDonald's gospel, you know, right?
Yes.
If you see McDonald's sign anywhere along the highway, you know. Mickey D's. You know, you just see the... It's a gospel. When it is not, they repackage, they remodel their properties. It's a gospel. Starting new locations. Some of you are customers, you are sponsors. I'm not saying that you should not. You should. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you. From where? From him. Remember, he called us to be with him. So he said, you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ. Christ is not a person. I told you, Christ is not a person. Christ is an office, the anointed one, and it's anointing. Jesus is a person. Jesus is a name given to the Christ. There are many people with the name Jesus, so you know that, right? I'm not going to be talking about that anymore here, because we'll talk about that, exhausted that a lot. Yes. Even today, there are many people with the name Christ. Jesus. Oh, there's one in your office. Uh-huh. So there was one we were watching on soccer. There's one now who works with Pastor Victor. His name is Jesus. Jesus Sanchez. Like I told you, there's a soccer player. His name is Jesus, which is Jesus. Go ask Hispanic people when they call in the name of Jesus. They say in Jesus. They call Jesus. Then there's a coach, soccer coach. His name is called Espiritu Santos. That Holy Spirit. Spiritus. But anyway, it's a marvel so that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Verse 7, a different gospel. Which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. You know what perversion is? Perversion is taking something that is good and twisting it. Perversion plays on the truth. It is not just a lie, it is an adulteration of the truth. For a person to be able to adulterate the truth, they know the truth. They use the play on the truth. Are you hearing me, somebody? But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Then we go to verse 11. You can skip. You can read the rest of it later. Let's go to verse 11. Verse 11, he says this. Paul speaking, he says, "But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man." Why? "For I neither received it," from man, verse 12, "for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. It came through what? The revelation of Jesus Christ. You've got to understand this. You've got to understand. Paul is not saying that man is not important, because when he encountered Christ, Christ sent a man to go pray for him. Are you hearing me? Because sometimes people hear this and say, okay, we don't need nobody. No. That's not what Paul is talking about. Paul dealt with people. He's talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. The gospel is about Christ. It's about Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's the simplicity of the gospel. The gospel is so simple, people miss it. It is so simple. It is so simple, people cannot accept it. Is that easy? How can somebody pay the price for your sin? That you are a sinner? And then somebody dies. You heard people say, "Do you believe that fairy tale?" I believe it. They say it's a crush. I need the crush. I'm lame without it. It's for the weak. I am weak. Let the weak say I'm strong. I am weak. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus. That's talking about a koinonia, a fellowship with Christ. He had an encounter with Jesus, an encounter that imparted in his life, because why? Christ calls us to be with him. When we are in a fellowship with him, there's a revelation that is imprinted on our spirit. So I said, when we abide with him, we learn his ways. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Verse 13, "For you have heard of my former conduct in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God beyond measure and tried to destroy it." At this time, he knew the Bible. Are you hearing me, somebody? He did what? He knew the Bible. He had read the Bible. He knew the Torah. He could recite it. The Pentateuch. He could recite it. That's why he was a Pharisee. Those were PhDs in religion. They knew. They had arrived. For you to have been a Pharisee, you have to go through requirements. In fact, Peter was too feeble to go through that. You know, because it was not for people who were not smart. I don't know if you understand. Oh, let me not talk to you about culture. Now, understand the Jewish culture. When you were born, similar to what happened with Samuel, your family would take you to the religious place, like what Jesus did, to the temple. He went at 12 and started engaging with them. He was not the only one. There were people there. That was life for them. If you've ever grown with the Muslims, or you've ever dealt with the Muslims, they take the little children, they go put them in Arabic school. All they're doing is learning Arabic, writing it, learning it. That's all they do. And when they graduate, they become what they call malam. In other words, they have come to become teachers. They can now start their own Arabic institutions and start teaching other people. That was what Paul went through. He learned under Gamaliel. And Gamaliel learned under other people. Now, those who were not smart to be able to hold that, they now go and learn trades. So Peter, most likely his father or parents, were fishermen. So he learned to fish. How? John and James were the sons of Zebedee. Their father was a fisherman, and so they fished. They did family business. Oh, some of you are catching it. You're catching it a little bit. When Jesus came back from the temple, You got to read the Bible. Read it. Let the Holy Spirit rub it in you. When Jesus came back from the temple at the age of 12, when he sat there debating with them, what did the Bible say? He went and submitted himself to his parents. What was his father doing? A carpenter. What did he go and begin to do? Carpenter. So much so that when he began to preach, because he never went to any of the thing, they called him rabbi. Rabbi means that you have graduated from being a student to being a teacher. Since they knew he never went to any school to where he could be a rabbi, they said, is that not the carpenter's son? Because he should know carpentry. Not this. Am I communicating to somebody? So when we become with him, there is things that he begins to take out of us. He begins to teach us. He begins to imprint. We begin to receive revelation. It is not just the letter, but the spirit of the word begin to be given to us. Because the letter kills it, but the spirit gives life. Hallelujah. And that's why God calls us to be with him. To be with him. Then when we're with him, he sends us out. So the first thing is, when we abide with him, we learn his ways. I haven't even finished that part. Number two, when we learn his ways, he prunes us for maturity and fruitfulness. He prunes us for maturity and fruitfulness. Oh, hallelujah. You see, when you give birth to a child, when you have a child, whether you were the mother who gave birth or you are the father, you have a child. And that child begins to grow. They have baby hair, right? When they have grown and their head has become a little strong, you know, the skull is closing out. What do? You cut the baby hair so that the real hair now can start growing. Maturity. That's you're pruning the baby hair, or the baby hair falls. If you don't cut it, it falls off sometimes. The same thing, it happens with their teeth. They have baby teeth, milk teeth. When they are now growing, they eat it right, the teeth fall off by nature. It falls off. Even you cannot pray against it. They lose their baby tooth. You can ask Julia. Julia, you can see some of Julia soon. And you know what? When it's play off, they are excited. They want to show you that, guess what? My teeth fell off. They keep it. You know, some of us believers, our tooth haven't fallen. You've been around as an adult and you still haven't lost your baby. He prunes us for maturity and fruitfulness. Hey, let me show you this. Hebrews chapter 5. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Are you getting something out of this tonight? Oh my God. Time is fast spent. Okay. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning from verse, let me quickly finish this. Quickly. Hebrews chapter 5, verse, let's just read verse 12 and see. Hebrews 5, 12. I have one more point. Hebrews chapter 5 verse 12. We'll go back to verse 5 later. Verse 12, he says, for though by this time you ought, another verse says, some of you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again. For by what time? This time. So when you're with him, he prunes you. He prunes us. Well, we're with him. He takes away. He starts knocking off some things for maturity and fruitfulness. You know, as a baby Christian, there is a honeymoon season. You just come, oh God, I love you, Lord. Father, I need this. And it just happened. Your life is exciting at that time. Like, wonder, what a wonderful God. You bless his name always. You can't wait to share about him, talk about him. then it's maturing you. It gets you off. That time you don't even know the gospel you are preaching. You're just zealous. You don't know whether you are shuffling people down people's throats or not. You don't. It's exciting. You pray for some things, even when you are self-centered. He allows it to happen. Then now when you start coming to maturity, he starts winning you off from things. He starts teaching you. You know, there was a time when children are little, they just come to you, I want to eat, I want it. You just put food for them. Put food for them. Now, a certain time when they come, you tell them, okay, sit down. Did you wash the dishes? Go wash your dish and bring it. We'll put your food. You understand what I'm saying? He prunes us for maturity. The prunes us for maturity. For though by this time, you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again, but not just to teach you again. He says to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. So in other words, you still have milk teeth. If they give you meat, solid food to bite, the meat will yank off the teeth from your teeth. All your teeth will be fallen. You still need someone to give you milk. And you're there drinking like a baby. He says, at this time you should be teachers. Because remember, why did he call us? He called us that we might be with him, that he might send us to preach and to heal the sick, to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. To heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Don't be around church and just remain a baby. Are you hearing me, somebody? Just remain a baby forever. A sickness come, oh, pastor, I will die. Oh, I didn't come to church. You all didn't care. I just was sick. Nobody cared to call me. You know, I thought that I was loved. You are loved. Why sick? You lay hands on the sick. Don't your hands have, lay hands. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke this sickness. I rebuke this headache. You pick up your bag. Going to go to church. Let's talk about growth now. Maturity. Yes, when you're with him, he prunes you. Prunes. Pruning means that they are cutting away some of the baby things. Baby things. The baby feel bad, they just do this. I'm not going today. You don't understand. You start pouting. He prunes. So that pouting. Some of those things like this fall off. Now that's what it says, that pruning. That you may do a bear more fruit. Praise the Lord. Leora, are we all right? Okay, good. Praise God. Is your mother pruning you? Yeah. They prune you for fruitfulness. Prunes you. Hallelujah. So you don't become a filly Christian. It's not about feeling. There are days I wake up, I don't feel like a pastor. Oh, not even days. Even today, I didn't feel like a pastor. In fact, sometimes I wake up, I don't even feel like a believer. But I know that I'm a believer. Hallelujah. It is not about feeling. There is a knowledge. I have a knowledge. There is a knowing. Oh, Job came to that. That's why I said, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. There is a knowledge beyond how I feel, beyond what I experience. I've been pruned. It's not the exciting baby. No, thank God for baby. He said, Paul said, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I spoke like a child. He said, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. I put away. Pruning. For though by this time, you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. The first principles, not just to teach you anything, but the first principles, what you should have learned first. Hey, if you had been with him, you would have learned this. The first principles of the oracles of God. When you see people say, I give up, you know, you see even pastors, ministers, sometimes they're like, you know, I've just got angry at God and I give up. You had not learned the first principles. The first principle, you were not with him. You were around the church, you were in the church, but you had not been with him. I'm mad at God. I'm angry at God. I'm not saying me. I'm saying, you know, you need to know him. You cannot be mad at him. I can be amazed. I can be amazed. Sometimes some things he does, his thoughts are past finding. So I know that my little brain cannot understand his big thing. So even when I don't understand it, and yes, my soul feels angry, I tell my soul, why I thou cast down all thy soul? Pruning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When you be with him. You see, David was, he was a man in the Old Testament who lived a New Testament experience. When he did wrong, God asked him, how do you want me to punish you? Do I give you to your enemies? Do I give you to the people? Or do I punish you? He said, Lord, if you give it to my enemies, they will finish me. If you give it to the people have no mercy. They have short term memory when it comes to good things. But Lord, you deal with me because I know that somehow you will have mercy. There is mercy. Mercy. That's talking about what maturity. So prune me yourself. You see, people who are crafty, they will say, give me to the people, because they think they can go convince the people. No, you won't be able to convince them. He prunes us for maturity. Say maturity.
Maturity
and fruitfulness. Maturity and fruitfulness. Maturity and fruitfulness. What happens when you pray and God doesn't seem like he's answering? You know that time when you pray, it seems like God is not there. Do you still believe in prayers?
Yes.
Will you still pray?
Yes.
What happens when you pray and you have no feeling? You know sometimes I feel the anointing. What happens when you don't feel the anointing? Is God there?
Yes.
Now he's gone away from feeling to knowing.
Yes.
I know. Yes. That my Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, not angels, nor principalities shall be able to separate us. Persecution, not flood, not cold, wind, nothing shall be able to separate. Well, I'm persuaded. It becomes a persuasion in you. It is not about how the weather is. Whether cold or hot, I don't care. I know. I'm persuaded. If it is, I'm going through the valley, I know that not even the valley will separate me. I'm on the mountain, I know that he is God of the mountains. I'm in the valley, I know that he is God of the valleys. If I'm in the shadow of death, I said, I shall fear no evil. Because there's a knowledge. He's pruned me for maturity. Hallelujah. Prunes us for maturity. Let me finish reading this passage. Oh Lord, help Pastor Blaise here to finish. Help me here to finish. Maturity and fruitfulness. He says, you learn. He said, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. You've come to need milk and not solid food. Verse 12, you've come to... Apostle Paul was a very interesting man. Huh? If he was the pastor of a lot of believers, he would get offended. Sometimes people think people step on you. Apostle Paul was not a sure. If he was pastoring, some of us would run away from that church. He called them all foolish Galatians. People who have not been pruned, they'll say, yet the pastor called us foolish. I'm not going to that church anymore. He said, who has bewitched you? He said, oh my God, he just said, did I just hear that? Did you just hear that girl that he called us, that we are bewitched? Called me a witch? Then he said, Hymenaeus and Philetus were of those kind. Then you just pick up your phone and text, Hymenaeus, Philetus, pastor preached you today. Apostle Paul called you out today. Oh, let's read verse 14. Verse 14, I have 1 minute to finish. I have the third thing I'll give you. 1 minute, we'll finish. Verse 14 of that, no, verse 13. Verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 13. It says this, For everyone who lives on milk, everyone who does what? Lives on milk. Okay, let me just read it for me. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. He's what? Unskilled. He's unskilled. Not just unskilled in anything, but in the word of righteousness. In the word of righteousness. For he is a babe. He's a babe. Even though he's big, he's a big babe. Even though he can pray, he's a praying babe. Verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. And this age is not talking about numerical age. It's talking about those who have gone through the process. They have been with him. He has called them. They've been with him. He has discipled them, matured them, pruned them. Then he now releases them to go preach. But solid food belongs to those who are of age, of full age. That is those, now see what he says. That is, so he's explaining that full age. That is those who by reason of use have their, what, their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. They have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Their senses have been exercised. It's not about feeling. It's not about, oh, it feels good to me, therefore it must be good. No. Their senses have been exercised. Number three, when we are with him, when he calls us to be with him, we become able teachers and imitators. We become what? Able teachers and imitators. But if you go back to verse 5 of this Hebrews, chapter 5, verse 5, it says, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become high priest, but it was he who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you, as he also says in another place, you are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with vehement cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his what? His godly fear. See what verse 8 says. Though he was a son, yet he learned. Yet he did what? He learned obedience. He did what? He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned obedience. Praise the Lord. He learned obedience. My time has been exceeded. And we have come to the end of our preaching tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. Hopefully you've learned something tonight. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. Maturity. By the things he suffered. He's called us to be with him. He called us to be with him. He's called you to be with him. Hallelujah. Yes, he's called you and I to be with him. Will you rise to your feet tonight?